Okay, the first thing we want to discuss is a little short vart, a short little musar haskel. In Parshas Re'eh, we have all of the kosher and non-kosher animals, the kosher birds, the non-kosher birds, the kosher animals, non-kosher animals, and the fish, the simonim. The simon for fish are snapir v'kaskeses, fins and scales. So I saw a very nice part from Rav Shlomo Zalman. I think it's Rabbi Yashiv, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. Divrei Agada, he wrote this like 50 years ago, the Sefer. Divrei Agada, we know that the simonim of the kosher animals and the kosher birds and the kosher fish are all a musar haskel for us. Chazal very often they elaborate on the animal, regurgitates its food, and it has split hooves. We learn about Esav, we learn about Yaakov, the Gadol Malchios, the four different types of animals that I mentioned, not kosher, the simonim. There's much discussion that we are supposed to learn from the simonim of the animals Musar and a derech in serving Hashem. So, not going to focus now on the animal and the birds, but yes, what is the simonim of the fish? Fins and scales. So, scales obviously represents protection. To be megan, that a person has to protect himself, being that fish swim in the water, it refers to Torah. Hoikol tzamil l'chulamayim, and the fact that a fish has scales represents that a person has to protect himself with Torah and Ma'asim Tovim. Okay, that's a separate point. But what is the point of having fins? What do fins accomplish? What function do they serve in fish? The answer is swim. To swim.
Movement.
They're able to guide themselves.
It's a rudder, right.
Exactly, movement. So the question is, The Gemara Masech the Kedushin says, he quotes the Gemara, that a father has an obligation to teach his children how to swim. And the question is, why? What is the Gemara telling us by teaching how to swim? If it's a matter of health, and you should be healthy, everything you have to, it's a matter of sakonis. There are many things that you have to teach. You should teach your child to defend himself, to give him karate lessons. He should know how to defend himself. You should teach him, give him a weapon. He should defend. So what is this the Chazal focus on teaching how to swim? So the answer he gives is, the reason why a fish really needs its fins is to go against the stream, against the current. There are two types of movement. You can just sit in the water, and you do nothing, and you flow with the current. Fins generally give fish the ability, to a certain degree, of course, and everything is relative, to go against the current. And what the Gemara is telling us is, the father has an obligation to teach his children to swim against the current. In other words, the world is a derech. The oilam is a goylam. The oilam does, the world does certain things. Just because they do it, it's not necessarily correct. You have to be like the fish. The kosher simonim are fins and scales. Protect yourself. But also, when you know the oilam is not doing the right thing, don't follow the masses. You gotta swim against the upstream. What?
Is the cover of the yard side you're saying this?
Who's your side? Today?
Sure.
Yeah, today. So kol hakavod. So let this be l'chavod is your side. To go against. Today is the Sadam Rebbe's yard side. Okay, so that is one idea I definitely find to be very interesting. Okay, let me give you another short. Let me give you another idea. With regard to the animals, the Torah lists the non-kosher animals. It gives you examples. There's the gomel, there's the arneves, there's the chazir. The Torah gives you the names of the non-kosher animals. When it comes to the birds, the Torah gives you the birds. There are 21 or 24 different ways of counting the birds. The Torah gives you the list, the names of the birds that are no good. When it comes to, it's not in this week's parasha shuratzim, there are shmona shuratzim. The pasuk gives you the names of the non-kosher shuratzim. Everything else is okay. So the question is, why by the fish does the Torah not give you the names of the non-kosher fish? So it's a very simple answer. The simple answer is because we don't find Adam Harisho never named fish. Adam Rishon, the Medrash says, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the time of Ma'aseh Bereishis, he called Adam Rishon, passing the Torah. I told him, I want you to name all the creatures. It says very clearly, he only named creatures of the dry land, of the earth. The fish were not named. So being that they were not named, fish don't have specific names. They're man-made names, so the Torah cannot possibly give you the names of the non-kosher fish. The best thing the Torah can do is can give you simonim. Has fins and scales, it's kosher. If it doesn't have fins and scales, it's not kosher. Why do we have to have both? Okay, l'hadil Torah l'hadil, the Gemara has all the old drasha, why you could, every fish which has one, which one is it? Every fish that has fins automatically has scales, or vice versa, whatever it is. Scale all the way around.
It has fins, but doesn't have scales.
So you have scales. Every fish that has scales automatically has fins. So why did the Torah have to go bother telling you fins? Lahagdil Torah ulahadir. Okay, but the Torah gave you simonim. Now, the reversal, this idea is not so simple, that Adam did not give names to fish, because there are midrashim which seem to indicate is that every creature that lives above on land has a corresponding fish with the same name. There's a lion of the dry land, and there is a lion of the sea. We may just not be bekeem in identifying which fish is called the lion. There is a deer, a tzvi. Yeah?
Many examples of a catfish, a dogfish.
Okay, we call it these names, but we don't necessarily know exactly what they are. But according to Chazal were bekeem in these things, and when Adam Harishon actually named an animal on dry land, automatically there is a corresponding creature. Okay, sea lion. Okay, right. But I don't know if that's what Chazal had in mind. Okay, Chazal, we see the concept in modern terms. Modern day, that there are corresponding creatures in the sea, creatures of the sea that correspond to on the dry land. And in fact, what's very interesting, Rabbi Wolfson, he discusses at great length, is that usually it's if it's kosher, it's the opposite. If you have a creature on dry land that's kosher, the corresponding creature in the sea is not kosher. And if you have a creature on dry land that's not kosher, the corresponding creature is kosher. And there's only one exception which he develops, so has a whole drasha. So that this idea is not so simple that Adam did not actually name the creatures of the sea, because by naming the creature on dry land, automatically that includes the creatures. But this is a common answer that's given why the Torah does not mention the non-kosher fish, because at least al derech pshat, Adam Harishon did not name the creatures of the sea.
What was the
That land animals evolved from sea creatures? I don't know. The Torah says that Hashem created the dogim. I don't know. Okay, there's an equivalency, but I don't know if in evolution how Chazal look at that. I don't know. Maybe it could be. I don't know the answer. Now, okay, but that's al derech pshat. However, there's a limud musa. What's the limud musa? When you're dealing with fish, you're dealing with the world of Torah, because fish swim in the water. And Chazal over and over tell us chay kol tzame l'chulamayim. Anytime you deal with water, you deal with fish, you deal with the ocean. It's the Yam HaTalmud, the Tohoim Rabbah. It represents symbolically the world of Torah. When you're dealing with creatures on dry land, you're dealing with the world of Gashmias. You're dealing with the world, the Olam HaGashmi. When it comes to the Olam HaGashmi, it's not so bad to identify things that are not kosher. There are a lot of people out there that are very shady. You don't want to have anything to do with. You want to stay away from. You have to know your enemy. The Torah identifies these are non-kosher shrotzim. These are non-kosher birds. These are non-kosher animals. Stay away. Know your enemy. But when it comes to fish, and you're dealing with the Olam HaTorah, and you have this branch of Hasidus, and this branch, this yeshiva, and this institution, that institution, the Torah says, don't identify anyone by name. Just look for the good. If it has fins and scales, it's good. If it does not have fins and scales, then stay away. the Torah de-emphasizes identifying specific targets that are not kosher, because that's not a Jewish way. Now, of course, there's scandals. Of course, you know, you have a Jewish institution that is that doing things that shalei kedin. Okay, it's not kosher. Stay away. But your attitude, your approach in dealing with institutions that represent the world of Torah is not the same the way you deal with the companies in the secular world. In dealing with the secular world, the Olam HaGashmi, that's right, you have to know, you have to identify evil. You're dealing with institutions that represent Torah. If the institution is not 100% true to its traditions, to its teachings, okay, so it doesn't have fins and scales, so it's not kosher. But don't go and take a hammer and pound on it to the same degree that you do with, because they still, to some degree, there's always a degree of holiness in the world of Torah. Very powerful. Limud HaMusar, difference between creatures above on ground and creatures that swim in the Olam HaTorah. So let's go to another idea. Now this week something very, very, very disturbing happened. Many people have commented on this. Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Kodesh Livracha, his Batseva fell down. It was dislodged. I don't think trampled. It wasn't trampled. There was a lot of people. The kever has been there for over 25 years. It's not unheard of. I know someone in my family, they put up a kever, and in a few weeks later, the kever, it didn't sell right. It sunk a little bit, so they had to come. They had to fix it. It's not unheard of. But after 25 years, so people are a little bit disturbed. If this happened and it's in the news, Hashem is being Tovea, the covenant of Rav Moshe. to some degree. And therefore, I just felt appropriate. I was looking through my sarm. I went out of my way to select a word from Rav Moshe Feinstein. At least we should focus on the Torah, the Mechazek. Mechazek the Matseva Rav Moshe Feinstein by saying over a vart from Rav Moshe on the parsha. Yes, in fact, beautiful, beautiful Divrei Torah. I met my grandfather, Zichron Livracha, he lived many, many years ago. He loved Darash Moshe. This goes back many, many years ago. His Chiddush, I want to tell you over two insights Rav Moshe has in this week's parsha. In this week's parsha, we learn about the Mo'adim. And the Mo'adim, it tells us over and over, the purpose of the Mo'adim, whether it Pesach and Shavuos and Sukkot is, you shall remember that you went out of Mitzrayim. That's what it's all about. The Mo'adim, you shall remember you went out of Mitzrayim. The numerous times this thing is repeated in this week's parsha. And in fact, we actually remember Yitzias Mitzrayim twice a day in Kriyashma. That's why we say Kriyashma. Mantiskas Yom Tzeitzchem Merzim Kol Yinechayecha. We say Kriyashma in the morning and at night. In Kriyashma Vayom, the parsha of Tzitzis, it mentions Yitzias Mitzrayim. So Moshe makes the following observation, which is very, very profound, very deep, and I don't fully appreciate the depth, and I'm just throwing it out for you to think about. We have two things in the Torah. There are many things. There are Sheish Zechiros. But let's focus on two of the major things that we actually remember. We remember Amalek, Zochor, Eis Asher Osel Lucha Amalek Derech Betzeischem Mitzrayim, Vayizani Duchakol Hanecha Shum Acharecha Ve'at Oyef Yogia. We remember what Amalek did to us, and once a year, Parsha Zochor, we read from the Sefer Torah. We read the Parsha of Amalek to remember, and then we have the mitzvah to remember that we went out of Mitzrayim. Look at the difference between the two. We focus on leaving Mitzrayim. There is no halacha anywhere, no obligation to read the parsha of Yitzias Mitzrayim, whichever parsha you want to find. There are multiple sections of Yitzias Mitzrayim in the Torah. Nowhere is there a mitzvah d'oraisa to read in a Sefer Torah the mitzvah of remembering, remember that you went out of Mitzrayim. How do we remember we went out of Mitzrayim? We say Kriyat Shema. We say Kriya Shema, we read, we have a sitter, or you don't have a sitter, you say it by heart. Remember, you went out of Mitzrayim. How often do we do this? Twice a day. At least twice a day, yeah? What's bothering you?
I understand.
Well, you'll see what I'm coming to. You'll see what I'm coming to. Yeah?
Is Yom Tetzvah the Eretz Mitzrayim calling you Mitzrayim? What do you mean? It's not...
But we have no obligation to read it from a Sefer Torah. To read from a Sefer Torah. Amalek, there's a mitzvah deraisa. So the way Chazal have interpreted the mitzvah is to read it from a Sefer Torah. You must read it. If you don't read it from a Sefer Torah, lo yasa. The different degrees of how kosher the Sefer Torah must be. We're very machmete. We have a Sefer Torah that's 100% kosher. Not so posh. Everyone agrees it has to be 100% kosher. But we're machmete. You must read it from a Sefer Torah. How often? Once a year. So let's look at the Milus and the Chesros, compare one to the other. When it comes to Amalek, there's a Hakpada, a Sefer Torah. That's serious business. Open up the Aron Kodesh, you have a Sefer Torah. But what's the light point of Amalek? Once a year. Just once a year. When it comes to Yitzias Mitzrayim, every single day of your life, not once, twice. But you don't have to read it from a Sefer Torah. It doesn't have that stringency, that Hakpadah from a Sefer Torah. What's going on here? So Moshe says, very interesting what he says, when it comes to Yitzias Mitzrayim, it's something, it's a remembrance. The focus, the word Zohar is used in reference to both, but it's the focus is just remember what happened. Remember. When you read Amalek, we read from a Sefer Torah. When you read from a Sefer Torah, that's called a limut. That's called a study. Kriyas HaTorah is the ultimate Talmud Torah. It's an intellectual experience. Amalek has done something horrible to us. We have an obligation to learn about it. How do you learn about it? You take a Sefer Torah, you open the Sefer Torah, and you read from the Sefer Torah. It's a limud. It's a limud, an intellectual pursuit. Of course, but the intellectual pursuit, you have to internalize it. It has to become part of you. Yitzias Mitzrayim is not an intellectual pursuit. It's something which you have to just to remember. Now, I want to take this idea, just go a step further, just one little drop further to elaborate perhaps what Rav Moshe means to say. Yitzias Mitzrayim was a good thing. Hashem did us a toiva. He did for us, you know, a chesed. He took us out of Egypt. Amalek was an avla, an enemy, a Russia, the worst of the worst. They came along and they tried to destroy us. They're still trying to destroy us, Amalek. In life, every single person, no one is exempt from this. You have friends who have done for you acts of kindness. And every person has enemies. I mean, you're not allowed to have an enemy, but the reality of life is there are people out there who have done us harm. And we have to protect ourselves. We have to remember, whether it's a Jewish person, a non-Jewish person, you have an obligation to be on guard. How do you live your life? If you reverse these two ideas, you're in a lot of trouble. And a person lives his whole life, every single day. Can you imagine this? Twice a day, you have in your sitter all of your enemies and all of the avos, all of the things that people have done bad to you, and you're going to review it, and you're going to remember what they've done to you. You're going to go out of your mind. And if you go every, and once a year, I'll open up a book, the Sefer HaZichronos, and remember the favor someone did for me. The Torah, by taking these two concepts of remembering Yitzias Mitzrayim versus Amalek, is telling you a derech in life. In life, when you have enemies, you have people that cause you harm. You have, if you're going to be a fool not to take it seriously what they've done to you and to protect yourself in the future. But don't overdo it. Once a year is enough. And don't focus on it. Don't become obsessed. It's just an intellectual idea. Open up the book. It's like a good book. A good read. Open the newspaper. That's very interesting. I'm aware of what has happened. It's a limud. It's something to study and to acknowledge. But when it comes to repaying someone for kindness, a person who's good to you and does chesed with you, to be makir tov, this is not, don't make them the chefza, the famous one, why don't you make a bracha when you do chesed? When you go visit someone in the hospital who's sick, how come you don't make a bracha? Because you don't want to make a person into an object of your, it's a disgusting thing. Chesed is natural. It's not an intellectual pursuit. A person is not the object of your mitzvah. Doing kindness is something which is natural. When it comes to kindness, Hashem doesn't want you to open up a Sefer Torah and to read, "Remember, I took you out of Mitzrayim. I've done for you this great kindness. You were in Egypt. I took you out of Egypt. That was good to you." That's not what Hashem wants from us. That we should look at this chesed as some intellectual pursuit. Some limud. Hashem wants it to be natural that we remember what He did for us, the kindness that He did for us. This is a zechira that we do twice a day. Remember it all the time, but remember it naturally, not as something a dafyomi you learn in the Gemara. But when you're dealing with your enemies, first of all, don't overdo it. Don't focus. You'll go out of your mind. You focus on all the avos someone did. Once a year is enough, and don't internalize it. Don't let it eat you up. Read it from a Sefer Torah as if this is just a limud. You should be aware, protect yourself, know what to do, but don't overdo it. That's a powerful word from Rav Moshe. V'chazek v'matzeva Rav Moshe. Beautiful insight. What?
No, it's training to be appreciative.
Right. Naturally. You should train yourself to appreciate the good of others naturally, 24/7. But when you're dealing with evil, don't overdo it. Once a year is enough, and don't view it as something which you have to internalize to make yourself crazy. Just know, study, there's a problem, we have to take care of ourselves, and that's enough. This is one beautiful idea from Moshe has, and this is Parashat and Darash Moshe.
I have a question. We both came up with the
second
question.
I mentioned in the beginning, there's Sheish Zechiris. The Sheish Zechiris, they're on a different level. These two, Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim and Amalek, are on a different level.
But they're part of the Siddur.
I know they're part of the Siddur. Whoever compiled it, that's part of the Siddur. But the other four are not on the same level. The proof is, most people don't do it. Miriam, it's something which you remember. They're not on, these two are in a category by themselves. The other four, it's true, it's a very nice thing to remember every single day or every so often, but it's a different level of remembrance.
The way you're saying it, it's as if you shouldn't say Zecher HaMolech.
You should, it's a mitzvah, you must, it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, you have to.
If you don't read from the Torah,
from the Torah, right.
It's a separate, the whole idea of taking out the Sefer Torah, doing it as a formal entity.
But I hear you also, if you're saying it.
It's a different, it's an idea, it's a different focus. It's true, it's a different focus. Okay, now let me give you another idea, another very powerful idea. This is really, the Rav Moshe was very big into chinuch. A lot of the chidushim and the machshav, the drush, over and over, chinuch. It was very been teaching and mechanech children. It was a very common theme in the thought of Rav Moshe, and he has a very powerful, observation in this week's parasha. The beginning of the parasha, the first aliyah. So we all read it at least during the week, Shabbos Mincha, and twice a week, and then on Shabbos. It says, "Le'sasun kein la'Hashem elokeich." Let me find the pasuk. The beginning of the parasha. Don't do to like this to Hashem. It refers back to the previous pasuk. Let me see. Pasuk Dalet, beginning of the parasha. Okay. Pasuk Loisasun Kein LaHashem Elokeichem. Now that is a standalone pasuk. It's not clear what it refers to. Let's read the pasuk again, the pasuk before. The pasuk before says, "Vinitatstem es mizbechosam. You shall demolish their altars. Vishibartem es matzevosam. See matzevosam. Va'asherehem tishrefun bo'esh. Ufisilei Elohim tigadeun. Vibartem es shemam min amakamu." That's powerful stuff. Obliterate them off the face of the earth. You come into Canaan. A bullet, you can't do better than this. This pasuk really says so. And then it says, "Oh, by the way, Rabbi Yisai, Leisasun Kein LaHashem Elokeichem." Oh, would anyone have a havmin of doing such a terrible thing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mizbeach and completely obliterating, especially when it says the Mizbeach and the Matzeva? What is going on? So Rashi right away comes to the rescue, tries to explain what is going on. He quotes the Gemara, Pasig Dalid Leisasun Kein. So simply Rashi learns that Pasig Dalid has nothing to do really with Pasig Gimel. Lahakdir LaShemayim B'chol Mokom. It's going back, Ki B'mokom Asher Yivchar Hashem. Pasig Dalid is to be interpreted forward. On the next parish, the parish of Bamos, which we're coming to in Pasikei. So take Pasik Dalit and go weiter. Don't look backwards. That's the first. Dover Acher, another interpretation. Backwards. Azhara l'moichek es Hashem. Don't erase Hashem's name. This is, every sefer knows this. This is the serious business. Ulinoitetz even min hamzech. Do not take a stone. Do not ruin the perfect squareness of the mizbeach. Oymin hazara. Amar Rabbi Shmuel. V'chisale al daitcha she Yisrael noitetzin es hamizbach hamizbachois. Would anyone in Klal Yisrael have having to go and destroy Hashem's mizbeach? Who would do such a terrible thing? Ella, what it means is the pasuk is alluding to shloi sasu kima'asehem. Don't behave like the non-Jews, like the Canaanim. The yigrimu avoinoseichem, and your sins will cause the mizbeach, the Beis HaMikdash, to be destroyed. It's being done indirectly. If you're going to follow in the ways of the non-Jews, you're going to follow their customs, their conduct, you can imitate their conduct and do their averos, then Hashem is not going to find pleasure in Klal Yisrael, the Shin is going to depart, and the Beis HaMikdash will eventually be destroyed. It doesn't mean literally going and taking the Mizbech and destroying the Mizbech. Shav Moshe says, look at this pasuk, and the truth is, you want to really appreciate what Rashi means. Look at the last staff in Masechta Sukkah. I'll read you the word. Everyone heard this. I assume at some point in time. Tan Rabbanan, Ma'isa b'Miriam bas Bilga. There was a woman, Miriam bas Bilga, Shehemira Daita. She went off the derech, and what did she do? She did the worst thing a woman can possibly do. She married a guy. She married an Anjou, v'holcha v'nises l'sardioit echot, one of the officers, mimalcha Yivanim. And then, when the Yivanim, during the time of the Chashmonaim, during the time of the Chanukah story, k'shenichnesu Yivanim l'heichol, l'hoysa mevatas b'sandola, she went to the Mizbeach. Okay, the Mizbeach, what it says here, don't destroy the Mizbeach. She took her shoe and started banging on the Mizbeach. She was mevaza the Mizbeach. By taking your shoe and banging on the Mizbeach, that's basically saying, if I could, I would destroy the Mizbeach. She was expressing her desire to abolish, to destroy the Mizbeach. And she said, Lucas, wolf, at Moshe Atta Mechalim Monim Shal Yisrael, she grew up, Chazal tell us, she grew up in abject poverty. She had nothing. And every time there was money available, it was always to the Beis HaMikdash. To the Beis HaMikdash, to bring a carbon, to give a donation to the Beis HaMikdash. So she, it hurt her that the Beis HaMikdash took precedence over their personal lives. And Mechalim, Memoinim, Shalishol, Viyat, Oymen, Aleim, Beshas, Hadchak, you never were there, you're not there to help us when we have tzaris. What was the reaction of Chazal? This is shocking. This is one woman. One woman comes into the Beis HaMikdash, she takes off her shoe and she starts banging. You know, they still do this in Iraq. Remember when they threw a shoe at Bush? At a shoe? That's it's insult. It's the ultimate insult. Take off your shoe and you throw your shoe at someone. The ultimate insult. That's what she did. On the Mizbeach. She tried to abolish the Mizbeach. And what was the reaction of Chazal? Where do you come from? Who's your father? Where does your father come from? The entire Mishmar, 1/24 of the Kohanim, were banned from serving the Beis HaMikdash. Hafle lefela. One woman. There could have been thousands of them. There was an entire Mishmar of Kohanim. We learned this yesterday so many times. 24 Mishmars. They were banned from serving in the Beis HaMikdash. Their ring, every Mishmar had a special place to shech the Korbanos, was locked up. The window, their cubby, was locked up. Why? The Gemara goes on to say, we'll jump now to the end of the Gemara, because the Amar Yinshe, Shusa Diyanuka, the talk, the speech of a child, when a child says something, where did the child learn to speak like that? He heard it from where he heard it at home. I always say over the story where someone, a three-year-old, the mother told the three-year-old, pick up your bottle. And the three-year-old says to the mother, three-year-old, what do you think? I'm the maid here? Where did the child learn to say that? Because that's what the mother says to the husband. When the husband says, do this, do that. What do you think? I'm the maid? So the Gemara here says, the shusa diyanuka, the speech of a child, bishuka, in the street. Where does it come from? Oda avua, oda ime. It's from the father or the mother. And therefore, Rashi goes on to explain, as if this is what she could do, if she can go have the chutzpah to marry a sheikh, that wasn't so bad in fact. She married a sheikh, it's so what? That was okay. She married a guy. They were fine. But to come into the Beis HaMikdash and to take off her shoe and to bang on the mizbeach, where does this come from? Where? Chinuch. The chinuch. This is the chinuch. Such a chinuch. A woman can have such a chinuch where she can come to do such a thing. There's a problem with her parents. And where do her parents get shachinuch to raise a child that could allow something like this to happen? It must be because of the whole family. And how does the whole family tolerate? The moral climate of society trickles down. Trickles down. It must be the whole mishmar is corrupt. And such a mishmar has no place serving in the Beis HaMikdash. This is mamish, an incredible insight. That's mamish, that's Rav Moshe, very pasuk. If you want to understand the pasuk, look at the Gemara, and it makes logical sense. Like, you read the pasuk, it's shocking. Lo sasum kein l'Hashem elokeichem. Don't destroy Hashem's Mizbeach. Who's going to destroy Hashem's Mizbeach? Rashi. What does it mean, kimasim? Rav Moshe says, you know what it means, kimasim? Chinuch. You have to have the proper chinuch. That's the whole, the essence of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe's Torah is chinuch habonim. If the moral climate of society is such that chinuch habonim is the number one priority, then there'll be a mizbeach. And if the number one priority is not the number one priority, it's going to be a trickle down. The moral climate of Israel will become corrupt to the point where they'll destroy the Mizbeach. That's right. Literally, they'll come into the Beis HaMikdash, take off their shoes and bang on the Mizbeach. Mamish, it happened. It happened in the Gemara. Such
but,
a story.
But she was complaining that her father was giving too much to the Mizbeach. So you see that the Chinuch must have been good.
No. It was not the right way. The whole attitude. And Moshe always said over that people would work, Moshe never stayed, and they came after the war. Seriously, we can't even be masik. We can't come anywhere near them. But unfortunately, they gave over a bad feeling to their children. Their children said, I don't want this. And that destroyed a whole generation. Rav Moshe says 100 times, all over in his writings, he says this.
Reality, how did you get to the Mizbeach?
Because the Yevonim came, it says in the Gemara, because the Yevonim came over. This was during the time of the Chanukah. This was during the 50 years of the Chanukah Tsaris, the Gezeris during the time of Chanukah, when the Yevonim took control. They penetrated the Mizbeach and they took control. So she was married to one of the high ranking officers and had access to the Beis HaMikdash. That's another very powerful vart from Rav Moshe. The Gemara is Sukkah Daf, the last Daf Sukkah, Samach Vav. The last Daf in Masechta Sukkah. Okay, now let's go to another idea, another short idea. We have here the Inyan of Bamos. Also in the first Aliyah, Ki'im El Hamakom. The only place where you can offer your Korbanos is the Korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. And then he goes on to say, Ki Lo Yibosem, Moshe says, Ki Lo Yibosem Ad Ota El Hamanuchav El Hanachlad. Right now, we're traveling in the Midbar, you're coming there at this show, it's going to be Gilgal for 14 years, it's going to be Heter Bamos. There's not going to be one central location for Avoda, there'll be Gilgal, that'll be the Bama Gedola, but people who are hungry and want to bring a Karbanos can offer a Karban in your backyard. You erect a Mizbeach, there are certain conditions, it's perfectly square, and you may bring a Mizbeach, and you can bring on the Mizbeach your private Karbanos. But Moshe says, listen here, don't think you're going to continue doing this forever. You only can do this, you can bring Karbanos in your backyard on the private Mizbeach, only until the time when you'll come El Hamenucha V'El Hanachala. Ki Leibosem Arata El Hamenucha V'El Hanachala Asher Hashem L'kecha Nosein Loch. And when you come to the Menucha Menachala, that's it. Karbanos can only be offered in one location. What is Menucha, what is Nachla? It's the Gemara Masechta Zvachim. Rashi brings down the Gemara at the end of Masechta Zvachim. Menucha is Shiloh. What is Nachala? Nachala is Yerushalayim. We know that after Gilgal, they set up a major sanctuary in Shiloh. It lasted for 369 years. That's a long time. Many generations of people lived through that. And that was a structure that was no longer the Mishkan. The Mishkan was no longer in use. The Krashim were put in Geniza. We don't really know what happened to them, what happened at that point in time to the Mishkan of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Mishkan of Moshe Rabbeinu appears to have stood in Gilgal for 14 years, exactly the way it was in the desert. But after they made a structure in Shiloh, it was made from stone walls. It was like a Beis HaMikdash. We don't know what it looked like. We know that the roof was, they used the urios of the Mishkan, that we do know, they continued to use, but the walls were no longer made from Atzei Shittim, covered with gold, with Adonim. It was a semi-Beis HaMikdash for 369 years, and it was destroyed at the time of Chofni and Pinchas. It was destroyed Eli HaKohen. When he died, there was a very difficult Kuv in Klal Yisrael. The Plishtim captured the Aron. At the time when they captured the Aron, we have a tradition, the Plishtim destroyed Shiloh. It was destroyed. It was if you study the Kinos and you study the Mefarshim, it was probably the biggest shock Klal Yisrael ever had in Jewish history. We think about Churban Bayis Rishon, the Bayis Sheni. We learned Yeshaya. The Churban Bayis Rishon wasn't such a shock because they had experience already. What was the experience? Shiloh. They never ever imagined. The first time Klal Yisrael experienced a Churban was the Churban of Shiloh. And in fact, in Yeshaya, it was like a dirty word. If you the Navi would say, if you don't behave yourself, you know what's going to happen? Shiloh is going to happen all over again. That was the worst thing you can say to someone in Klal Yisrael, because that's like reminding them of the worst nightmare. It was the biggest nightmare that Shiloh could happen. Some of them first actually said, there's a pasuk, Yeshaya would say Shiloh to them, they would kill him. They would mamash chase after him. How dare you insult us and tell us that we're going to go through Shiloh again. We're going to suffer the Churban of Shiloh. Okay, but we have Shiloh, and now we have Nachla. Nachla refers to after. Nachla comes to the Beis HaMikdash. Now, why that's going to be the permanent resting place, L'shichno Sidshu V'Oshana. Now, the problem is, you look at the Baram Sechti Zvachim, there's another opinion. And the other opinion reverses the two. It's shocking, it's reversed. Ki Leibasim Arata El HaMenucha, I think it's Rabbi Yehuda, HaMenucha is Yerushalayim V'El HaNachala to Shiloh. What's going on? Shiloh, why? So the Mefarshim extend because Rabbi Yehuda, who says this is Lishita, so he holds that Yerushalayim was Loi Nischalka L'Shvatim. Attacker, we hold like that. That Yerushalayim was not divided among the Shvatim. One opinion was it was given to Yehuda and Binyamin. They divided the line. It was their property. And now we have a Gemara. But there's another opinion that says no, that the Beis HaMikdash was Loi Nischalka's public property. Therefore, there's no way you can say the word Nachala in reference to Yerushalayim, because it's no one's nachla, it's no man's land. It belongs to Hashem, it's no man's land. So the best you can do is say nachla refers to Shiloh, because Shiloh was the property, I don't know, you have to look at the map, where it was. It's up north, I think.
Yes.
So Shiloh's up north, so it's one of the Shvatim who are up north, whichever one that, maybe it's, wherever it is, okay, I don't know. And then nachla, that's Shiloh, that's not Shiloh. And Meila El HaMenucha is, Menucha is Yerushalayim. Now the difficulty with this is, it's not in chronological order. Right? What's going on? Moshe saying, Kiloi Bosim Arata El HaMenucha V'El HaNachala. Menucha is Yerushalayim, and Nachla is Shiloh. But that doesn't make any sense, because that's not the Seder HaDvarim. So what's going on? So I didn't see the sending, but I think there's something to this thing, this Pasha, is that look at the bracha of Yaakov Avinu. The bracha of Yaakov Avinu to Shevet Yehuda is that Lo Yaser Shevet Yehuda Minchag Mivein Raglav Ad Kiyavo Shiloh. Shiloh refers to Melech HaMashiach. So to some degree, Elu V'Elu Divri Elokim Chayim. I want to add one little hosafa. I don't have a psuk in front of me, but Yeshaya, there's many prakim that deal with Melech HaMashiach. And one of the psukim, one of the most beautiful things it says about Melech HaMashiach is that his, I already forgot it, is Minuchasoi Kovot. There's a whole long that ends off one of the prakim that his resting, does anyone know the pasuk by heart?
No, you mean the six qualities
of Mashiach? Melech HaMashiach is that his resting place will be covered, will be honored. His resting place, I have to look up the pasuk in Yeshayahu, I don't remember where it is now. Yeah. So what's the pasuk? Yeah, the pasuk. Show me the pasuk. Yeah, the pasuk? Menuchasai kovot will be a place of refuge. When Shiloh was destroyed, how does the Torah describe the destruction of Shiloh? It described, we mentioned this, we learned Kinos with the daughters, the daughter-in-law of Pinchas, of Eli, the wife of Pinchas. She was in labor. She was in labor and she gave birth. And when she died, she named her child Ikavod. Ikavod. She named the capture of the Arun, which represents the Chorban of Shiloh, was described Gala Kavod Mi'Yisrael. The Kavod has gone away from Klai. So we see such a concept. We don't know what this is. We don't know what Kavod is. But we see such an idea that the Chorban of Shiloh was the loss of the Kavod of Klal Yisrael. And Melech HaMashiach, the pasuk, the last pasuk in Yeshayahu that describes Melech HaMashiach, says that his menucha, his resting, will be kavod. It's the restoration of kavod, and therefore it fits very well. Is ki lo yibosem arata el hamenucha ve'el hanachlu? You have not yet come el hamenucha to Yerushalayim, and then after Yerushalayim, there's going to be the coming of Mashiach. And what is the pasuk telling us? And here's the Musar Haskel of the pasuk is. You can't do ish hayosher be'enav. A lot of the Bali Musa say, look how far we've fallen. Today when you tell a person, you can't do what's yosher be'enav. So what do they think? Don't go around killing people. Right? Don't go around shooting people and doing every dover ha'as you can possibly imagine. You just can't do it. There are certain protocols. But in the Torah, when it says, don't do hayosher be'enav, you know what it means? Don't offer a korban in your backyard. No one had a havamina, they're going to do an avera. What was the Yetzirah? The Yetzirah was to serve Hashem, but not lefi halacha. The halach is you want to bring a carbon, you have to bring it in the central location. Don't allow the Yetzirah to bring a carbon to Hashem, overpower you and bring a carbon in your backyard. That was the hasaga of Hayashar Be'elah. They say like in Europe, what was the worst that Meshuggah would do? You know, the Meshuggah, they sat in the streets. So what are they going to do already? What, they're going to go kill you? It wasn't dangerous necessarily to walk in the streets because they have the pasuk. Okay, v'arichai, but there's another pasuk. Maybe it's further towards the end. Okay, it's a different parak. There's another. I can't find it now. There's another pasuk that says very clearly that the beauty of Melech HaMashiach is that his menucha will be with kavod. B'zman hazeh, that's what we suffer. After the Chorban Bayisheni, what's the problem that Klal Yisrael has? Every segment of Klal Yisrael does their own thing. Right? That's the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. We're now in a matzav of heter bamos. What are the bamos? The institutions. It's mutter. When there's no central location, ish hayosha be'enav. So every institution has their derech in Avodas Hashem, which is fine. The Torah sanctions this. There doesn't have to be one central authority. But when you're going to come El HaMenucha V'El HaNachala, when you're going to come to Shiloh Ad Kiyavo Shiloh Melech HaMashiach, then all of the institutions, all of these massive bamos that exist in the world today, all of the institutions of Torah institutions will have to be centralized in under the authority of the Melech HaMashiach to make sure that it's not any longer Hayashar Be'enav. So you can take the word Shiloh. Shiloh, it means Shiloh Mamash. But what was the Ma'al of Shiloh? It was Kavod. When Shiloh was Charaf, it was E-Kavod. When's the next Shiloh coming? Melech HaMashiach. How is Melech HaMashiach described? He's described as Menuchasai Kavod. Is covered, he will restore. And when he will come back, he will restore a central authority to Klal Yisrael, where no longer will each segment of Klal Yisrael be due Hayosha Be'enav. It's not a bad thing. Torah says you can do Hayosha Be'enav as long as there is not a central location. But once there is a central location of Beis HaMikdash, then alone then there has to be some authority. What? My pshat. This is my observation. What? No, definitely not. That's why it hasn't happened yet. Okay, let me give you at least one more vart. This is what I find to be a little different. It made a little bit of impression on me. I need to have your shmos here. Okay, I need to look at the pasuk, parak yudeis, pasuk lamites. Next week, Chodesh Elul is next week, Tuesday, Wednesday. Yes, next week we'll do Chodesh Elul. Shabbos mevarchem Chodesh Elul. Tuesday, Wednesday, we'll talk about Chodesh Elul. Okay, Perik Yud Beis, Pasuk Lamites. Okay. We have here in this week's parasha a mitzvah of Shamar es Chodesh Aviv. We have the Moadim. Parasha Asra'e is laying on all of the Moadim, Aser to Aser, it's Tzedakah. And when it's Shabbos, you need another two aliyahs. And but generally, the laying of the Moadim is Kol HaBachar. And we come and call HaBachar to Shomor es Chodesh Aviv. And what does Rashi say about Chodesh Aviv? You should make sure that Pesach always falls out in the spring. And the truth is, all of the other Moadim have to fall out during the holiday, because Sukkot is Chag HaOsef. Is the beginning, is at the end of Chag HaOsef, you have Shavuos, is Yom HaBikurim. The truth is, all of the Moadim fall out during a certain season. The only one that the Torah gives instructions, which is the critical, Shamar. The word Shamar is a very powerful word, which Chazal learned, you better make sure that you ma'amr the Shana, you add a month, or you don't add a month, to make sure that Pesach falls out in Chodesh Av, in spring. Why? Why does the Torah want this to be so? Because that's the time Hashem wants reenactments. Because ki v'chodesh aviv hotziacha Hashem alokecha mimitzrayim loyla. It's the most beautiful time of the year, and there are multiple midrashim which tell us that Hashem specifically took us out at a beautiful time when we should enjoy leaving Mitzrayim. It was pleasant. The weather was pleasant, and it was just, springtime is beautiful. Okay, and therefore, every year when we reenact this holiday, we should make sure that we reenact it during the time when it's beautiful weather outside. That's the simple way of learning the Pshat and the Pasuk. However, there's a very big kasha. So this kasha in Dorash Mordechai by Rav Druk Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and he says, we know that Klal Yisrael, they for 40 years they travel in the Anani HaKavod. Anani HaKavod had central air conditioning and had central heating. It had climate control. You have not seen climate control until you experience Anani HaKavod. It was heating, air conditioning, lighting. Anani, there was Amud Esh, Amud Onan, not too much light, not too much dark. It was perfect. You do not know what it means, climate control, until you experience the Anani HaKavod. So what difference does it make if it's Chodesh Aviv, if it's not Chodesh Aviv? And in fact, when do they receive the Anani HaKavod? They receive the Anani HaKavod at Sukkos. That's why it's called Sukkos. Sukkos was the first stop. It says in the past, Ramses. Ramses was where the Jewish people lived. Ramses is Egypt. They travel from Ramses, what's the first stop? To Sukkos. And why is it called Sukkos, by the way? Because in Sukkos, why do we have Sukkos? Why do we live in booths in the Sukkah? Because the Sukkah zecha for the Anani HaKavod. When the Klal Yisrael get the Anani HaKavod for the very first time? In Sukkos. Why don't we get the Sukkos already in Ramses? Because it was Egypt. It's not a good place. It was contaminated. The Mokum was not good. The Anani HaKavod only can come and greet us after we left Egypt, after we got to the first stop in Sukkos. Okay. Now, Sukkos, you should know, is a very, very great distance. Sukkos is not nearby. It's hundreds of kilometers, whatever. It's a long distance. How do we get there from Ramses to Sukkos from the Pesukim with Smash very quickly? So there's a midrashim. I'm going to read you what it says here in the Sipurno, in Shemos, Parashas Bo. What else happened in Sukkos? In Sukkos was when they discovered that their bread did not have a chance to rise. Now let me just read the Sefarno instead of talking in circles. In Perik Yud Beis Pasuk Lamites Ki Loy Chametz, the pasuk reads Vayofu Es Habotzek. They ate the dough. Asher Hotzil Mitzrayim. And dough, when they left Egypt, Ramses, they took dough out of the oven. They took the dough out of the oven. Asher Hotzil Mitzrayim. Ugos Matzos Ki Lo Chametz Ki Garshu Mitzrayim. Vlo Yachlu Lehismameh Vegam Tzedo Lo Asu Lahem Sipurno. Pasuk Lamites, ki lo his chametz, b'nei koytzer hazman. They didn't have time. Shehoya mishas nisam meiram seis, shehi bi'eretz Mitzrayim, ad shehigia l'sukos, shehi chutz l'gvulam. Ka'am zal, shlei hispik b'tseikon shalam v'sin l'hachmetz, ad shehigla aleim, like we say in the Haggadah, ad shehigla aleim, melech malch gilui hashchino took place where? Gilui Hashchina took place in Sukkos. And Ramses, they had dough, and it was rising. And then, when they reached Sukkos, it was Gilui Hashchina, like we say in the Haggadah, Ma'atzazu Shanoch HaShulmo, Ashley Hispik, B'tzekom L'Hachmed, Ashahig Leim, Melech Machi Alochim, and it became Matzah.
They made it in 18 minutes.
Oh, exactly. Ki Omdan B'yosam B'Sukkos, Chutz L'Gvul Mitzrayim, Niglu Aleim, Amudei Ha'onon V'Ho'esh, V'Hashem Ho'lech L'Fim. So Rav Jug says something amazing. He says, "Why Hashem insists here? Shamar es Chodesh Aviv, v'yasisa Pesach. Make sure you celebrate Pesach in Nisan. I want to reenact the beautiful weather. When did Klal Yisrael need that beautiful weather? For 18 minutes. 18 minutes. That's all they really needed it for. Because once they got to the Sukkos, again, it wasn't a little booth. The Anani Akovo changed the environment." It changed the whole environment where they had air conditioning and heating and light and dark. It was perfect. So, and that started with Sukkos and did not end for 40 years. When was there nothing available to them? There was no environment protection. It was from Ramses to Sukkos. And Ramses to Sukkos was the time that when the Torah says it became matzah. It didn't have time to rise, and they had to bake it right away on the spot, and it became matzah. So they only needed the beautiful weather for 18 minutes. And because of those 18 minutes, every single year, for every generation, we're makbid, hakpada, to make sure the calendar works out, that we reenact Pesach during Chodesh Av. That itself is an amazing concept. That's what he says, Rav Druk. Now I want to go a little step further now. Let's go a step further. What is the 18 minutes really related to then, according to the support on Rav Druk? It really directly connects to the matzah. Because from Ramses to Sukkos is exactly the amount of time that their dough was not able to rise, and instead of turning into chametz, they had to bake it right away. They didn't have time. They had to bake it right away. They made matzah. The whole matzah period took place from Sukkos to Ramses, which was 18 minutes, which also is the time of Chodesh Aviv. So you put both together, what comes out is as follows. Let me give you a mashal. If you ever go in Manhattan to these really nice restaurants, and you come in there and you sit down, I just want a glass of water. That's all I want. It's the glass of water. And then you leave and they give you a bill. How much does the glass of water cost? $73. Plus tax and tips. Why? Just water. It's just water. Ambiance. Look what we're giving you. Look at this beautiful environment. Ambiance. You see how they set tables outside? Chazal say, there's something to it, a blind man does not appreciate, does not enjoy the food. He doesn't see it. Why do we light candles Friday night besides Shalom Bayis? Another one of the major reasons given the post is you should see the food. Because if you don't see what you're eating, it's lacking in the enjoyment and the timing of eating. Now, that's just the bare minimum to see the food. But by extension, if you really want to enjoy, there's something to it. The proof is, look at the bill. There's something to it. To really enjoy food, the environment makes a very, very big difference. It's Chazal, sing, but that's just the beginning. The whole environment makes a big difference. So it comes out something fascinating. This is a tremendous chiddush. This is a chiddush to say such a thing, but I think that's what it says. The din that Pesach has to be in Chodesh Aviv, we now know is only for 18 minutes. And those 18 minutes was the time that we say in the Haggadah of when the dough turned into matzah. You know why Pesach has to be in Aviv? You'll ask the person, because Pesach is the holiday season and we want it to be nice, a new start, calendar year begins, Nisan. No, nothing to do with the holiday, nothing to do with the Karban Pesach, nothing to do with anything. It has to do, because when you have that one mitzvah deraisa of eating matzah, Hashem wants there to be the right ambiance. That's the name of it, right? The ambiance? Hashem wants there to be the right ambiance when you eat the matzah.
Where's the bill?
What?
Where's the bill?
Shots are $24 a pound. It has to be. You eat that matzah. It's lechem oni, lechem she'oinin olav dvarim harbe. Hashem wants that matzah to impact you with the maximum knockout punch. Lechem she'oinin dvarim harbe. It's not enough, like Friday night. The Chazal say you have to have lights. You have to see what you're eating, because a blind man can't have pleasure. Hashem wants the world to be, the environment to be as perfect as it possibly can, so when you bite into that matzah, you will have the full matzah experience. That's why Pesach has been Chodesh Aviv. For the matzah, the ambiance of Achilas matzah. That is the only mitzvah deraisa. Everyone jokes around that Judaism is all about food. It's not true. The only time you have a mitzvah to eat deraisa is matzah. And it's not just the matzah. Hashem has the right hotel for us. The Chodesh. Okay, so this is an idea, a rayon. I wish you all a wonderful Shabbos. And before you leave, we want to wish our very dear friend, Rav Aaron Axelrod. He's going away for a few weeks, and we want to wish he should be gesund and stark, and the brachas from the entire tzibur should accompany you.
Where's he going?
I thought you were going to press. Have a wonderful Shabbos.
Shabbos. Thank you. With that question, you